Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. If you have a Bible this morning, we're going to be in Joshua chapter 3 and 4. We're journeying through the great book of Joshua. And I'm praying it'll be a great blessing for you and your family this summer as we move through that. There'll be some things in here for fathers. There'll be some things in here for mothers. There'll be some things in here for all of us. And so if you have a Bible this morning, we're going to start in Joshua chapter 3. Now, I'm going to be reading a lot of scripture this morning. And so if you will honor God's word in your heart, you can remain seated this morning. Amen? That wasn't quite the response I was looking for. Anyways, Joshua 3 verse 1. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was, after 3 days, that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before." And Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Some of you, I've already heard, I've been out of town this week in Birmingham, Alabama at a conference, but some of you have just this morning told me that some of you had a tough week. And let me just give you this word of encouragement. There are going to be tough weeks in our lives. You're either moving into trouble, right smack dab in the middle of trouble, or coming out of trouble. It's one of the three, right? And you may be standing looking at this morning what looks to be an uncrossable river, some impossible situation, some unbelievable problem. Well, the nation of Israel was standing on the eastern banks of the Jordan River, and just beyond the Jordan was the great promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey that God had promised to His people for hundreds of years. And just behind them was the wilderness, what we would call the Sinai Desert, where they'd been for 40 years. And so they're about to step into all that God had promised, and yet before them, now in most times of the year, the Jordan River is about 100 feet across. But at harvest time, the Jordan River, in some places, it's at flood stage, and in some places, it's over a mile wide. And they're standing there thinking, how in the world are we going to cross this river? There are 5 geographical events in the life and the history of Israel. One of those, of course, is the emancipation from Egypt. The second is the crossing of the Red Sea. The third is the wandering of the wilderness for 40 years because of unbelief. And the fourth is what we're looking at this morning, the crossing of the Jordan River. And fifth is when Israel went into the promised land and claimed and possessed what God had told them was already theirs. Now, we're going to cross the Jordan River today, spiritually speaking. I said we're going to cross the Jordan River today, spiritually, okay? And as we cross the river together today, we are going to step in to what we call the promised land. Now, Canaan land is not heaven. Canaan land is the abundant life that God died, was buried, and rose again for you to have. And we need to claim that, possess that. Are y'all with me? And so there's a tremendous letting. Now you may be standing, you may be before an uncrossable river yourself this morning. Maybe it's a river of poor health. Maybe it's a river of uncertain future. Maybe it's a river of sickness, or a river of addiction, or a river of weakness or a river of bitterness and anger, and you don't know how in the world you're going to get across this river. Well, I've come here today to tell you, there's hope. And you can get wherever it is that God needs you to go. That's what this is all about today. Are you ready? Oh my goodness. Are you ready? You need to come. When you come for worship, come with a sense of expectation and anticipation. Before you ever get here, that's what you need to. Because y'all, we get to experience the presence and the power of God today. Look at your neighbor and say, oh boy. Some of y'all are so excited, I don't know what you'd do if Jesus walked in here. But anyways, so we're anticipating Jordan. First of all, did you notice the first thing that Joshua did? You didn't get it. You didn't notice it, did you? Let me give it to you one more time. Look at verse 1. Then Joshua rose early in the morning. I said Joshua rose early in the morning. Now look, jump over to chapter 6 and look at verse 12. Now y'all, that's just one page. Joshua 6:12 says, and Joshua rose early in the morning. Now look at chapter 7 and verse 16. So Joshua rose early in the morning. Are y'all getting this? Chapter 8 and verse 10. Then Joshua rose up early in the morning. The first key to crossing the Jordan River is getting up early, and the first person you see is not your face in the mirror, but that of the Lord Jesus. He's the first person you need to experience each and every morning. Now, I get this. I know this. Some of you wake up and say, good morning, Lord. And then some of you wake up and say, good Lord, it's morning. Some of you don't even feel saved till about 10 o'clock in the morning. But I understand that. But why did Joshua get up early every morning? Because he wanted to experience the presence of God. He wanted God to speak to him. He wanted God to lead him. He wanted God to guide him and direct him and to show him the way in which he needed to go. And I want to tell you, if Joshua needed it, when you read through the gospel accounts of Jesus, what is it that he's doing many, many mornings? He's going out early to spend time with his heavenly Father. And so the first step in getting ready to get across that uncrossable river is get with Jesus. Get with the Spirit of Almighty God. You say, well, Brother Cal, I don't like getting up early in the morning. Well, go to bed 30 minutes early. So you can get up, and the first person you need to experience is the presence of the Holy Spirit. And you'll be well on your way to crossing that river. Now look again. In verse 2 it says, so it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp. Now, they've been there 3 days. Joshua's been getting up early every morning listening to the Lord. Why had they been there 3 days? Because he's waiting on God. How many of you know Isaiah 40:31? They who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. How many of you like to start running and not grow tired of running? They shall walk and not faint. And so when we wait on the Lord, you see, it's not enough just to spend time with the Lord. You need to be patient and wait on God to tell you what he wants. So they've been waiting there 3 days. And then God speaks to Joshua and he tells him there in verse 4 what he commands him to do. Now, you've got this Ark of the Covenant, which was very, very precious. Still is in the lives of the Jewish people. Whenever they saw the Ark of the Covenant, that was the presence of Almighty God that was with them. You got that? And the priests were to take that Ark. Now, the Ark was a wooden cube-shaped box overlaid with gold, and each corner had a ring on it. There were two poles that were that went through those rings, and so the priests would carry, set those poles on their shoulders, and that's how the Ark of the Covenant was carried. And so the priests were to take the Ark down to the riverbank and to step out into the river, and the people of God, and they were to be about a quarter to a half mile ahead of the people. And so as the people saw that ark, going before them down into the riverbed. They were to keep their eyes on the ark and they were to follow the ark. Y'all know where I'm going with this? This is so important. The ark is a picture of the ark of our salvation. The ark of the covenant in every way pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. The wood of the ark speaks of the Lord's humanity. And the gold speaks of His deity. The Ten Commandments, the two tablets were in that ark, which speaks of the law of God. And the gold that was overlaid on the mercy seat speaks of the love of God. How many of you know Jesus is the best representation we'll ever have of the law of God and the love of God? And so they see the ark of the covenant is a powerful picture of who Jesus is. And as the child of God this morning, it is imperative every single day to surrender your heart and life to Him, a fresh surrender, spending time with Him, listening to Him, waiting on Him. And then when He speaks, you simply, well, you remember what Jesus said, come and follow me. It's really pretty, the Christian life's not that hard to figure out. We're just supposed to follow Jesus. Wherever He's going, that's where we go. Whatever He tells us to do, that's what we do. We're just simply following Jesus. Are you with me? Look at your neighbor and say, follow Him. Amen. Now look at your other neighbor and say, follow Him. Amen. Let's tell the Lord, we're going to follow you. Amen. That's the key to victory. And so these priests were about to step down, y'all, into the Jordan River with the ark on their shoulders, and they were going to come out on the other side of the river. And by the way, did y'all know this is the exact same spot of where Jesus was baptized? We have seen that spot. And those of you that want to go to Israel with me, May the 6th through the 15th next year, you need to get on board. And it's going to be a fun, awesome trip. But this is where Jesus was baptized. And He went down when Jesus was baptized. And when the Ark of the Covenant went down into the Jordan River, this was a picture of His death and burial. And when the Ark of the Covenant came back up out of the Jordan River, and when Jesus, after His baptism, was raised from the water, that is a picture of the resurrected life that God wants you to have. How many of you know the Christian life is a different life? It's a raised life because you've been raised from death unto life. And so that's what's going on here. It is Christ who gives us the victories over the rivers of Jordan. Jesus is the key, brothers and sisters. He is the key to the kind of life that He wants you to have. And so let's move from anticipating Jordan. How many of you are ready to navigate Jordan with me? Four of you. Okay. Let's look at navigating. And by the way, I just about skipped this. I can't skip this. I'm sorry. Look at verse 5. Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. The word sanctify means to consecrate yourself. It means to dedicate yourself. And you know, it is a good thing for us, children of God, from time to time, to give a fresh surrender to the Lord Jesus, to dedicate yourself. Now remember, I told you, at most of the times of the year, Jordan River is only about 100 feet wide. But in this stage of the year, in some places it's over a mile wide. And so I want to tell you, to see God accomplish a miracle like that, you had better be willing to surrender wholeheartedly to Him. Because it takes great faith to do. But how many of you know God's independent of the laws of nature? It's not that it's not Mother Nature. It's the fact that God the Father created nature. And so He's not bound by the laws of nature. He can do whatever He wants to do. And He's getting ready to part the waters of the the Jordan River. Do y'all believe that? I mean, we believe some wild things as Christians, don't we? Well, if you believe that He's able to part the waters of the Jordan River in your life, then the second or third thing we need to do this morning is dedicate ourselves to Him. Surrender to Him wholeheartedly. Every area of your life to Him. You may be standing on the banks of an uncrossable river this morning. But I want to tell you, God has not changed. And He specializes in doing the impossible. How many of you figured that out? Some of you are living testimonies to that fact this morning. Hallelujah. All right, let's step down into the river. Let's navigate the river together. Verse 6. Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, and all the ites of the land. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priest who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the sea of the Arabah, the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jordan, Jericho. Then the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. Now, the Israelites followed that Ark of the Covenant and the priests who were holding it down into the Jordan River. And as soon as the priest stepped down into those dark, muddy, murky waters, the waters miraculously began to part. And there's another miracle that takes place that we sometimes forget about here. That old nasty, muddy, dirty riverbed dried up so that the children of Israel could cross over onto dry ground. How did the Israelites know that God was going to be with them as they crossed over? Well, guess what? God had already told them he was going to do this. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 2 says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. God had already told them that they were going to cross this uncrossable river. The Lord God had already promised them that they were going to make it to the promised land. So, this is how they had to do it. They had to walk by faith. Yes, faith. Say faith with me.
Faith.
That's what the life that we're living is all about. Faith. Not some nebulous faith, but faith in Him. Faith in Christ Jesus. Faith in Him alone. And so, if they walked by faith and did the things that God had told them to do, to spend time with Him, to dedicate themselves to Him, to wait on Him, and be obedient when he called them to move, then God would do what he would do. And so the priest stepped down into the river, the waters receded, and everybody crossed over on to dry ground. Now I've said all of that to say this morning. It may be an old river of a bad habit. You may be standing there facing an unbelievable situation. Maybe it is a problem with cancer or bad health, or maybe it is a problem of a broken relationship. Maybe it is a river of bitterness and anger. You know, I talk to people every week, and I just want you to know, our battle is not against one another. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, one another. Our battle is against the evil one. And he's going to do everything that he can to put these uncrossable rivers in front of you. But I want to tell you, God has not changed. And if you will look to him by faith, you can cross any river that God wants you to get across. Am I talking to somebody here this morning? Any of y'all facing some uncrossable rivers? Hallelujah. Well, just like the children of Israel crossed over, he can part the waters. God can do whatever it is that he wants. There's nothing too hard for God. The Bible says He can do the impossible. You got any rivers that need crossing? You got any mountains that need climbing? Oh, hallelujah. That ark represents Jesus Christ. And there isn't anything He can't do. Let's together, Second Mile family, this next year commit to doing whatever we've got to do to step out into those dark, murky waters and by faith follow Jesus Christ and do what He wants you to do. Hey, daddies, that's a good message for your family today too. Are y'all with me this morning? Are you listening good? God's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we even ask or think. He is a can-do God. Whew. All right, commemorating Jordan. Now, chapter 4, I know what some of y'all are thinking right now. Well, now, Brother Cal, you preached on this on Memorial Day Sunday. Well, yes, I did. But guess what? The crowd that morning was even slimmer than it is today. It was the worst attended service we've had since we got started. And so most of y'all, probably, many of y'all probably weren't here to hear that message. And those of you that were there, you've probably already forgotten what it was all about. All right, so let me just kind of tell you what God said to Joshua here. He said, when they got over on the western bank, okay, once they had crossed over, they were to set up two memorials, two monuments, if you will. And the first monument, they were to get 12 stones out of the riverbed and take them up on the western bank and set those 12 stones up. Eventually, they wound up setting them up in Gilgal, which was spiritual headquarters at the time. And those 12 stones were to be a monument or a memorial to what God had done. But they're also supposed to set up 12 stones in the middle of the riverbed. And then when the Israelites got over on dry ground and the Ark of the Covenant got on dry ground, the waters came back into place. And so you've got an invisible memorial. God's the only one who could see it. And then you've got a visible memorial. What's up with these two? Well, I'm glad you asked. The stones in the river, that monument, that memorial in the river, could only be seen by God Himself. And they remind us of the death and burial of Jesus Christ. You know, the gospel accounts don't talk a lot about the death of Jesus. You know why that is? Because I want to tell you, it was bad and brutal. It was a horrible thing to witness. That's one of the reasons why it was dark at noon. It was dark. It was hard. Mel Gibson's movie has it right. I mean, what happened to Jesus was awful. It was so awful, it was hard to look on it. Even God the Father had to turn His back on God the Son. And so those stones in the river bed speak of the death and burial of Jesus Christ. And by the way, it is on the basis of His death and burial that we can even begin to move in to the promised land. It is by His death and burial that we can get out of the wilderness, hello, and get into the land that God has prepared for us. And so now, the crossing of the Red Sea, get this with me now. Earlier, the crossing of the Red Sea, that speaks of salvation. But the crossing of the Jordan River speaks of sanctification. Moving into all that God wants you to have. And so we have victory in Jesus, and that invisible memorial reminds us of the death and burial of our Lord. In other words, the stones in the river shout, I died with Christ. You see, you have died in Christ Jesus. You died with Him. The old Mike Pickering is dead, buried, and gone. That's my brother-in-law. I'm going to shout hallelujah to that. And if you're in Christ, you died with Him. All of your sins have been forgiven and forgotten. Isn't that good news? That ought to make a frowning Christian smile. And so that those stones down in the riverbed speak of his death, and that I've died with Christ, and then the stones out on the western bank shout, I've been raised with Christ. Y'all, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and might have it abundantly. I talked to so many believers. every week. And instead of living in Canaan land, you know where they're at? They're back there in the Sinai Desert. They're defeated. They're frustrated. They're miserable. They're wondering, isn't there more to this thing than what I'm experiencing? Are y'all with me? Well, Jesus did not die and was not buried and was not raised again so that you might have a miserable experience. He wants you to experience life and life to its fullest. And that comes how? By faith. And that's what these two monuments, these memorials are about. The memorial up on the western bank, these little boys and little girls and children of the Israelites would see those stones down through the year. Look what verse 6 there tells us in chapter 4. It says that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean? What do they mean to you? And that would give them an opportunity to tell them of God's great miraculous work, how He had led them out of Egypt, how they had crossed the Red Sea, how they had experienced wilderness living for 40 years, and how God brought them into the land that He promised them to have. That would give them, and by the way, since it's Father's Day, let me just say this, Dad, it's your responsibility to teach those principles of faith to your kids. We have forgotten that. Our kids ought to be putting into practice at church the things that they're learning at home. And it's not the mama's and the wife's responsibility to do all that spiritual stuff. It's mine, partly mine and partly yours, guys. Go ahead and slap him, girl. Say he's right. And so it would be an opportunity to give a testimony. And then verse 24 says, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Did you know you're a living testimony? You're like one of those 12 stones. You are a living stone. You are a bright and shining testimony to the fact that God changes life. Do the folks around you know that you're different? Do the folks that you're working with, do the folks in your neighborhood, the people that you go to school with, do the people that are around you know that there's something different about you? I'm not talking about being a nerd. I'm not talking about being weird. I'm talking about that spiritual difference that makes you different from your lost neighbors and your lost friends. Now, I've said all of that to say this morning. Did you notice what happened when everybody got over on the dry ground? When everybody crossed over, what happened? The waters flowed back into the river banks, and the people of God were now standing where? On resurrection ground. And that's where you all are today. If you're saved, if you're born again, if you're a believer, you're standing on resurrection ground. And all that God's calling on you to do is to claim by faith what is already yours. God, I don't know who you are or what brought you. I know who some of you are. But I don't know who I'm talking to right now. But God has a greater plan and a greater purpose for you than you're experiencing, many of you today. And it comes through this thing we call faith. You've got to shake yourself and get rid of all those old shackles that you've been burdened down with. And just look to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith each and every day. And if you'll do the things we talked about here this morning, at this time next year, you'll be a completely different person. You'll have a completely different experience. Do you want more than what you're having right now? You can have it. As a matter of fact, God died and rose again for you to have it. The victorious, overflowing, supernatural, life-consuming victory that is yours in Jesus Christ. You can have that today. Let's bow our heads and let's pray and let's seek God's face. Lord, I know in my own life, as a 25-year-old man, I was not experiencing the victorious, supernatural, abundant life that I was supposed to have. I had sin in my life. I wasn't a man of faith like I needed to be. And yet, God, through your patient hand, you guided me and steered me in the right path. And I remember it like it was yesterday when I surrendered completely and wholeheartedly to you afresh and anew. On my hands and knees and my face before God in my old bedroom at the age of 25 years old, God, you parted the waters. And I crossed over on dry ground. And I never dreamed that I'd be where I am today. It's all about you, Father. And I want to pray right now for every father and every husband, every man that's in this sanctuary, Father, that you would raise up a bunch of Joshuas here. That you would help us by faith to follow you, to listen to you, to spend time with you, to wait on you. And then when you call, you determine our path, God, that we wouldn't look to the left or the right, but that we might follow Jesus in a straight path. I pray for our families this morning. Lord, that you would do what only you can do. That you'd bring us together for such a time as this. Oh God, help us to cross some of those uncrossable rivers this morning. Help us to give those rivers to you. Jesus has made the way for us. We need to trust Him. In your name we pray. Amen. I want to ask you to just stand to your feet. Just stand to your feet. If you need somebody to just pray with you, I'll be here. There are other folks, women and men, that'll be glad to pray for you.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.